We bow our heads in prayer. Shine in our hearts, O Spirit, precious light. Teach us, Jesus Christ, to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true home he has brought us. Amen. For my message this morning, I want to speak to you from a portion of the seventh chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. The title of my message to you is simply, Jesus Comes to the City. The city to which Jesus comes is the city of Nain. Our text, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, read as follows. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of a mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the coffin, and they that bare it stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this report of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. This is our text. Our text tells us three things. It tells us where Jesus went on a certain day. It tells us what Jesus did on that certain day. And it tells us how Jesus was received or perceived by those around him on that day. On a certain day, Jesus came to the city of Nain. The city of Nain is about 5 miles southeast of the city of Nazareth, where Jesus spent his boyhood. It's a little city. The site still exists today as a cluster of hamlets and a few ruins. And about, a mile or so southeast of the city of Nain, there are these sepulcher-like caverns, ideal for containing the bodies of dead people. On a certain day, in the city of Nain, Jesus brought a dead man, a youth, back to life. He raised him up again. There are three instances in the ministry of Jesus recorded in the Gospels where Jesus brought people back from the dead. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, Jesus raised the daughter of a man by the name of Jairus by saying simply, maid, arise. Right after she died, while she was still laying on her deathbed, he raised her from death. In our text of the morning, the 7th chapter of Luke, Jesus raises a young man, the only son of a widow, by saying, young man, I say to you, arise. He was on his way to the cemetery already. He was on a coffin. He was being carried out of the city when Jesus met him. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead by saying with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had already been 4 days in the tomb when Jesus raised him from the grave. You see, it doesn't matter how long a body lies motionless in the state of death. When Jesus comes and Jesus calls, arise, come forth, the dead body will return to life. Time is no factor. In the words of St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he tells us, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise. On that certain day in Nain, because of what Jesus did in raising a young dead man back to life, he was perceived to be a prophet, a great prophet, whose presence to those around him was a sign that God had visited his people. Jesus was a prophet indeed. His very word was a life-granting word of God. When Jesus spoke, things happened, big things. He was indeed Emmanuel, God with us, in whose presence death itself fled. At the word of Jesus, death departs. In the death of Jesus, death did die. Let's return for a few moments to that eventful day in the city of Nain, and let's consider just how God's holy word on the lips of the Messiah penetrated into man's sinful life and brought hope to the hopeless. Traffic at the city gate of Nain was heavy on that certain day. Going out of the city was a dead man and his mother and much people, a great crowd, and simultaneously going into the city was Jesus and his disciple, and again, many people, a great crowd. The highway to Nain was crowded with people going in and people coming out. The people coming out carried a man. A dead youth was carried out of the city. He had to be carried out. He was dead, and death incapacitates us totally. He was being carried out of the city because the city was for the living, not for the dead. Dead people are carried out of the city. They're carried southeast of the city. They belong in the sepulchers, in the tombs, and in the graves. The law had done its job on that young man. It condemned him. Sin had done its job on that young man. It doomed him. Death had done its job on that young man. It claimed him. And sin and the law and death were still doing their job on the mother. They rent her heart in agony. She knew the pain and the sorrow of losing to death her only begotten son. Sooner or later, everyone's carried out of the city. Sooner or later, every one of us are carried southeast of the city to the grave. And for the world, that's where the story ends. A seal on a sepulcher, the mark of death. But for the scriptures and for our Lord in the scriptures, that's only where the story begins. You see, there's another crowd than the one leaving the city to go to the tomb. The other crowd is going into the city where people are alive. And the other crowd is moving toward the city of the living because the other crowd is walking with Jesus. The biography of every son and daughter of Adam is simply this: from life to death, from the city of the living to the silence of the grave. Jesus came to rewrite that story of man's life. He came to change the final chapter. That's why Jesus came into the world. That's why Jesus, on a certain day, came to the city of Nain. That's why Jesus has come into your life and why Jesus has come into my life. He wants to rewrite our life story, to read from death to life, from the silence of the tomb back to the city of the living. What did Jesus do on that day in the city of Nain? He did what only God could do. He performed a great work with a simple word. The historian St. Luke accounts the incident in these simple words. He saw the widow. He felt her grief. He said, "Weep not." He came near to her. He touched the coffin of her son. By his word, he raised the son from the dead. And then he gave that man back to his mother. What was once a mother's dearest possession by nature, Jesus restored to her by grace. The grace of the gospel. The power of his word. To the sorrowing mother, he said simply, "Weep not." He soothed her with the comfort of the gospel, for it's only the gospel that provides comfort in the presence of death. To the young son, he said, "Arise." He quickened him with the power of the gospel. Only the gospel has the power to bring dead people back to life. We think of the words again of St. Paul in the letter to the Ephesians. Even when we were dead in sin, God quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. That's the gospel. That's its comfort. That's its power. Who is then this Jesus? How was he received and perceived on that day in Nain? Jesus is the great prophet that is raised up among sinful mortals. And because Jesus is raised up among us, we too are now raised up by him. Jesus was the great Emmanuel. In him, God visited his people. Jesus visited us in our earthly home and in our earthly city, that we may live with him in his heavenly home and in the city of the living God. Who is this Jesus? In our text, he is the one reported of throughout Judea, but Judea cannot contain him and his word. All men everywhere must hear of Jesus. All men everywhere in the world are in need of Jesus. All men everywhere in the world die. And death must be rebuked by the word of God. The whole world is his field to harvest. The whole world is his domain to claim. He is the one whose name must be proclaimed. Not just in Nain, not just in Judea, not just in Samaria, but unto the ends of the earth. This is his testimony concerning himself. I am the first. I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Jesus has gone. He's gone back to the Father, but he left his keys behind. He has left his keys with us so that his church could also forgive sins. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?
The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. As it was on a certain day in Nain, where his word unlocked the door of death, so may it even be here among us sinners today and every day until Jesus comes. May we be granted the grace to proclaim that word that not only unlocked the door of death, but which also opens for us the door to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.